Good morning. Still 5 minutes to 12, so it's still okay to say good morning, I suppose. And today's topic, if you look at the your bulletins, I'm starting a new series on disciple makers. And the reason I chose this topic, disciple makers, it involves many factors in it, and some of them related to people, church, personal conviction, commitment, all these things. So we're going to unpack all these in the next, how many months, I have no idea, but at least a year or so. So today, I just want to look at this, explain to you that it's very important for us as a church, as individual Christians, that we someday, I hope, maybe some of you are in this journey to becoming a disciple of our Lord Jesus. And how many of you, you have a phone with you, I'm sure, 90% of you. There's an app on your phone, it's called Instagram. How many of you have that? You just don't want to tell people. Secretly a follower of someone. Because when I was asking the Cantonese congregations, you know, I make a huge mistake because they were older generations, so a majority of them do not have this app. So how many of you actually have this app? Oh, now more people. Brave enough to tell us. And I believe my daughter also has an Instagram, so of course, as a parent, we are the followers, you know. Try to figure out, try to know what she's doing. So, well, I don't have that. Actually, my wife has it. Just be honest with you. I trust my girl, and I don't follow her all the time. But my wife, of course, being a mom, I'm sure she will be forgiven. To follow our daughters. You see, we love to follow some people. We download an app, we sign up, and then hopefully when the people that we follow, when they say something or do something, and we just, oh, wow, you know, and then maybe, I don't know, can you text back? I don't have a clue how it works. And when the people that you follow actually say something, do you get a notification and telling you that, oh, okay, thank you. So the app actually tells you, oh, he just say something. Oh, she just say something. And then you can open up and being, you know, oh, wow, you know. I just want to ask you why do you want to be someone's followers? You know, the app design is you follow somebody, whoever they say, you know, just like the president of the U.S. where he says a lot of things, you know, people just, you know, all kinds of expressions. And why do you follow people? Those you know, movie stars, celebrities, and your friends, and you may be a secret admirer of someone, so you just continue to follow. And my question is, we are not very good in terms of a follower of our Lord Jesus. Right? So even Bible app will tell you, will remind you, send you a, you know, notification and say, hey, read the scripture today, and I give you a devotional passage today, and just remind you, spend 5 minutes to read the Word of God today. And how many of us actually follow that? Or actually turn it on and say, okay, well, let me read that. Yeah, we do sometimes, but not all the time. You see, we are more inclined to follow somebody then follow the Word of God. And today we just want to look at Matthew chapter 28. And we're talking about disciple makers. So, of course, we are talking about what God wants us to be. Last month, remember a character I shared with you? Do you remember that character? Well, his name is Gideon. And the topic was doing impossible tasks. So God asked him to have 300 people defeat over 135,000 people. But I did not mention to you how he ended his life, because he was a hero. He did really awesome job with these 300 people. But if you continue to read the scriptures, you see a lot of time we experience God in a very dramatic way. In his case, 300 people defeated an entire army. And then people say, well, why don't you become our rulers? And he said, no, I don't want to be your rulers. But he created an idol, a ephod, like a garment for high priest. He made that and put it in his own town. And people became to what? Worship that garment. Because that garment represents the priest, how we connect to God. And the Bible described that become a problem for him and for his family. You see, a lot of time in a Christian walk, Gideon was a very good example to me. It's just seeing how God invest in his life. He saw God, he met God, he changed. But at the end, somehow something happened and he missed a step, a very important step. And it seems that no one was there to tell him. And for older Christians like us, a lot of time we wonder, by the grace of God, we always hope and pray that God, you know, let me end my Christian walk with you in a good term. Meaning, we don't want to slip. We don't want, at the end, bring disappointment to God. So life is a journey, and even though we have a lot of different experience with God in our lives, but there's no guarantee. What I want to say is there's no guarantee that he will carry you through until the end. And I think Gideon gave us a lesson to learn. So discipleship, or disciple-making, becoming a disciple of our Lord Jesus, is a lifelong journey. No matter how much you have experienced him in different occasions, I think we still need to grow and to be close to God in our daily lives. So let's look at Matthew chapter 28 today. And slide one already out. A pastor put these two passages together. And I thought, it makes a lot of sense. If you read these two, and before Jesus ascended back to heaven, and this is his so-called last words to his disciples. And he put these two together. You might say, are they spoken in the same time? Could be, because when scriptures were written, the gospel and also the Acts, and time was not the issue, meaning the lenient time was not the issue for the author. They would just try to write down things that, because they have a theology. They have something they want to teach the readers. So time may not be the only factor they consider. So they might have a different recording, in sounds like in different times. Anyway, this pastor put this together, and I think it makes sense to me a lot. And can we read it together? Maybe we stand up to read the Word of God together. One more time. Wow. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me anywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. Thank you. You may be seated. So if you look at this, this is the a mission statement. Commissioned his disciples before he left them. And a lot of time we look at this and say, oh, this is a very important. You look at it, it's a very huge task. And we say, well, I think this is a job. It's a full-time job. It's a full-time involvement, preaching the gospel. So maybe this is a job for pastors. Maybe this is a job, you know, look at the Acts 1A. It sounds like more like a, for missionaries. They spend the whole time doing all these things. And my argument is, this is not just a full-time job. This should be a lifetime job for each one of us. Because if only 12 disciples, 11 at that time, listen to what Jesus said and say, okay, let's make disciples. And they ask people to accept Christ, and they just stop. People accept Christ, and they will not preach the gospel to others. So only 11 disciples doing that. So how many Christians, how many believers that they were brought into the kingdom of God in their lifetime? If this is only for them, you know where I'm going to. This is not just for that 11 disciples. Otherwise, the gospel could have been ended when they all die for the gospel. So this is for us Christians to continue to share the message. And I think this is a very important. A lot of Christians, when we look at Matthew chapter 28, we feel important, but somehow we don't feel it's my responsibility. And I just want to continue to read it, to study this together with you. And if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul tells us that we are the ambassadors for Christ. The gospel has to be preached. Romans chapter 10 also tells us that. Nobody can hear the gospel except someone is going to share. Overseas, locally, someone has to open their mouth and share the gospel. Otherwise, none of us will be sitting here today. So it's not just 11 disciples' job, even though for them could be looked like a full time, but it's a lifetime too. And I just want to encourage you as a Christians that this is our lifetime missions that we need to be involved in. So the gospel tells us that this, Jesus is the only way that we can be saved. And we share the book of Romans with you in the past 18 or 19 months together. And we see the importance. Jesus is the only way. And we know that. And people have to hear the gospel. And they have to make a choice whether they want to follow Jesus. And today, if you look around, people say, well, this is end time. Seriously, if you look around closely, around the world, even our country, Canada, sometimes we really feel that the end time is approaching faster than we hope. The end time is coming closer and closer to us, meaning that we are running out of time. We need to share the gospel in a sense that people still need to hear in order to make a choice. And I'm sure you heard a saying. For the older generation, when people say jump, you heard that before. The older generation will ask you, how high you want me to jump? But for the younger generation, what do they ask? The first question when they hear jump, they ask why? I just told you. Because people need to hear the gospel. This is the only way the gospel can be preached, can be shared, can reach the end of the world, but you still ask why. Do you know why you ask why? Because you are not really asking why the gospel has to be preached. You know that. But you are asking why is because why do I have to do it? Right? I already give you the reason. The Bible gives you the reason why we need to share the gospel. But your question that you ask is, why do I have to be part of this? Nowadays, we talk about values. Well, what kind of values will add into my life if I do this? Right? I heard that. Values. Oh, wow. So when you ask why, you are actually asking, what do I get from doing this? Right? What motivates you? Because when I was preparing this message, I'm thinking about this, I just said, John, people will say, how high? Those are modern people, older people. People are baby boomers. You know, we were brought up that way. When people say, do this, we do it. We will not ask why. We just say, how? What do you expect me to do? But the younger generation will ask, postmodern, ask why. Then I say, why? Okay, why? So how do I talk to my younger Christians, brothers and sisters in this church? Then I thought, why, you know? I almost scratched my head to bleeding. No, just kidding. Why? Then I'm asking, oh, I just said it in the previous, you know, and I was writing it. But would that motivate you? If I tell you people need Jesus, just like you needed Jesus, so that's why you became a Christian. Now people outside the church, your friends, your family members maybe, and your colleagues at work, they still need Jesus, and you're still asking why. And I'm asking, so what actually they are asking? I think you guys are asking, why do I have to do it? What values would this involvement add to my life? Right? Well, if you ask this question like that, oh, you know, I feel maybe we are a little bit too self-centered. We're still thinking about what do I get from whatever people ask me to do. But this is exactly opposite of what Jesus wanted to show us. His own life, his focus was not about himself all the time. You know that. You read the scriptures. He came, he died on the cross on our behalf. He followed what God wanted him to do all his life. He said, I only follow God's will. My life is for others. But the question that we ask a lot of time, I think, is a little bit too self-focused. When we say, why? Actually, you're asking, how do you motivate me to get involved? My question is, why not you? Why not me? And I just want you to think about this. We come up with all kinds of reasons or excuses, saying that I need training. I need to know how to share the gospel. I don't even know how to start a conversation. And when people ask me questions, I do not know how to answer. What am I supposed to do? So we give ourselves many reasons or excuses and say, oh, I think I'll just take him to church or ask her to go to church. I think somehow someone will solve the problem for him. Well, we think that way, I think we have two major reasons. Most of us grew up in a church, born in a church. So to us, church is everything. So we grew up in a church, so ask people to come to church, solve all the problems. The other one is that when we say, come to church, you are actually asking people, say, we have a come to church because church has this is a supporting community. Maybe the church can support you in the ways that, you know, your needs can be met. And one of those needs are becoming a Christian. So we ask people to come to church. Come. Because I grew up in the church, so I go to church every day, you know, I mean, not every day, I mean, except pastors, you know, every week. So maybe you should join me too. And then somehow you will find a community that will support you, look after you, show you how they care for you. So you will stay. And someday you will become a Christian. And we shift our task, our responsibility to someone else. A lot of time I think this is not the best way to be Jesus' followers. Maybe we can start with the people we love. I'm not asking you to go out in the street, you know, 199, the traffic light, and say, stand there and say, whoever passed by, stop the car, get that person out, and share the gospel with them. I'm not saying that. But can we start with the people that you actually care, that actually you love, that actually you work with every day, day in and day out? Maybe we can start from there. Postmodern time, I think it's one of the beautiful time, is that we can talk about spiritual things quite easily these days. We have all kinds of people coming into Canada, and they come with different cultures and religions. Sometimes we can start to talk about religions together. But the thing is, what does Christ expect from us? What kind of Christians that he's looking for, actually? I want to show you the other slide, John chapter 15. If you have a scripture, a Bible, you have the app, you can turn it to the Bible. Chapter 15 is part of the conversation. Jesus was talking to his disciples before he went to the cross. It's a very long conversation that he had with his disciples. And this is a part of it, talking about the vine and the branches remain in me. And then if you look at that is, Jesus said, if you do this, remain in me, you are my disciples. So if you want to know what Jesus expects us to be, maybe we can start from here. Chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. A disciple remains in Christ. So what does it mean, remain in Christ? I think it's reading the scriptures, because that's what John said. Reading the Word of God, praying to Him, the connection that we have, just like you have with other people, this relationship with others, with other people. So this is what God is asking us. Take God's Word seriously, and the time we can talk to God through our prayer. And then the list go on. A disciple is obedient. Follow what God wants us to do. And he bear fruit. As a result of obedience, disciple bear fruits. When we bear fruits, we can glorify God. When we glorify God, we have joy. And then we will see that, you know, this is what our understanding of God's love as we're doing all these things. So this is what God wants us to be, a disciple. Ultimate is the Luke when Jesus said, follow me, and you know, you have to carry your cross. I think that is the ultimate sacrifice as a disciple for our Lord Jesus. We have to choose to love him more than people around us, our family members. I think that is the ultimate call to be disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's found in Luke chapter 14. When he turned around, look at those, a crowd following him. And he said that, whoever follow me wants to be my disciples. You have to carry the cross. You have to love me more than your family members. You have to give up everything. Those are the ultimate call for being disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. And John chapter 15, every one of us, we should head into this direction. Reading the Word of God, pray to God, follow His will. And then Jesus said, we will bear fruit, because when the branches is connected to the vine, it's naturally we will bear fruit. I want to share a secret with you. I'm pretty old. I shouldn't say that. I'm pretty mature. all my Christian life. I only have 2 years, I think solidly 2 years, that I have a mentor that helped me to grow. And that 2 years were in Vancouver when I was doing pastoral ministries. And my senior pastor, he actually was my mentor. When I was in Bible school, before that, when I was in Bible school, Three Hills, Alberta, here, right here, I spent 4 years in Bible school, and all I had was the scriptures. And when I go through life, loneliness, problems with people, just like every one of us, the only thing I have at that time was the scriptures, nothing else. And that gave me a foundation, how I build this relationship with God without books or someone. It's just me and God. As I read, as I study the Word of God, God gave me this such a strong desire to be transformed, to be changed by Him, by the Word of God. And I think this is a very, very important decision that we have to make. In that 2 years when I was in Vancouver, my senior pastor, my mentor, showed me what it means to be a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. In that 2 years, he did not tell me what to do. He did not say that, no, this is the thing. You know, we did not spend 3 hours together in office. Because to him, training me is to show me what it means to be a disciple. So when I talk to him in his office, maybe more than 5 minutes, then he will, you know what he does? What he did? He would stand up, come to my, I was sitting there. He would just come to me and pick me up and, And then keep talking a few more words, and then he'd actually get me out of his office. He did not want to talk to me. But he wanted to show me, because I see how he related to his wife, Simo, and I saw him how he related to his son. I saw him how he related to the elders. I saw him how he looked after people when people going through difficult times. He was so tired, he actually fell asleep in his office. Nobody dared to wake him up, because we all know that he spent so much time looking after. He showed me. And I think it's very important. What I want to say, the experience I had in PBI, Prairie Bible Institute, what I really want to say, the format is not important. Some people say mentorship will help. Some people say go through this, then you will be a better Christian. I think ultimately it's between you and God. Your mentor cannot transform you. The program cannot transform you. Only God, when you allow Him to come into your life and say, God, do something in my life because I'm not really happy with myself. So whether you are just reading the Word of God alone in my dorm room, or whatever places you were, whatever program you think will help, and you wish to follow somebody, Instagram, so follow some famous pastors, whatever they say, wow, it's important, shaking ground, But ultimately, it's between you and God. Will you be willing before God, reading His Word, and allow the Spirit to say, Stan, I think this area, you need to look into it. Will you say yes? because at the end, it's between you and God. And I hope that we see the importance, the desire to be his disciple. Before I go to the second point, can we imagine together 5 years from now? Just 5 years, or maybe 7 years. 5 or 7 years from now. Everyone come to this church, a member of this church, has reached this. What God wants us to be. 5 years, 7 years, we all become like this. A true disciple of our Lord Jesus. How would this church look like? Well, first of all, you may say, Pastor, please be honest. You will never get there. That's what I'm saying. Let's imagine we will get there in 5 years. We all become disciples of our Lord Jesus. How would this church look like? Well, when I was asking this question in CMC worship service, the first answer I heard was phase two. You know what phase two is? We're going to build another worship center. I said, what? So all we can think of is building more. Well, I think, of course, what he meant was we should see more people coming to know Jesus. This is what I'm getting at. When we become truly disciples of our Lord Jesus, we cannot close our mouth. Nobody can stop us sharing the gospel, helping others, showing people what Jesus wants us to be. Not just talking, but show us and show people what God wants in our lives. And then we build phase two, phase three, whatever you want to build. 5 years from now, we will be very, very busy not doing our own things, but doing what God wants us to do, right here, in this passage. So what's the role of the church? Part two, you know, I really want to see what is the role of the church in this regard. What can we do as a body of Christ? And there's a question that people ask, because I think that will determine what we need to do as a church. And the question is, one big question. Disciples are born or disciples are made? What is your answer? For those who say disciples are born, please raise your hand. Okay. So the disciples are made. Please raise your hand. Oh, wonderful. So why would you say that? Because when we get this right, I think as a church, then we know what to do. We need to come together to have a common understanding. Because we say, let's make disciples. So what does it mean? I believe this passage already gives us the answer. Right? Baptizing, teaching, obey. The answer, actually, from a pastor, he is smart. Disciples are born to be made. Right? Do you agree? I look at your face. I'm not sure. So what does it mean? Meaning that every Christian, when you become a Christian, you are on the path, this journey, to be the disciples of our Lord Jesus. But this path, you are not alone. Even though I said this is between you and God, but look at this whole thing. There's someone teaching. There's someone doing baptism. That means there's a community that will help us to go with this journey. Just like when I was in Perry Bible Institute, that 4 years in Bible school, someone paid for my tuition. Someone came to teach me. Someone looked after my food because I went to a cafeteria, even though the food was not awesome, awful. We survived. We made a lot of Chinese noodles in the dorm. Well, my nephew's laughing because my brother went to PBI too. Disciples are born to be made. Someone will come and support this making disciples, the process. This is life journey, what I want to say. The church can play a role helping, encouraging as we go through this journey together. And I hope that you will not count the church out in this process. We need each other. We need someone can be like a disciple, showing others what God wants us to be. Not just empty words. But my mentor, 2 years I was with him, he showed me. After that 2 years, when I went back to seminary, CTS, Regina, and that 2 years I was involving in the church, I always wonder when I face difficulties serving in the church, helping a youth group, what would my mentor do in this situation? What would he say? What would he do? I kept thinking about that. But I never dared to call him because I know his personality. He would never talk to me about it. When I left that church, the last word he told me, you know what that was? I think I told you guys. Maybe you already forgot. It's okay. I was shaking his hand. The last Sunday, we were leaving. All he said was, "You are on your own. How nice." You know, when I heard that, I was kind of disappointed. The last word before I left, all he said was, "We are on your own." I think what he really wants to tell me was, don't follow me, but follow Jesus. Because he doesn't want me to be his disciple. He wants me to be Jesus' disciple. So I think even though at that time it was really hurtful to don't tell him that. You might know who he was, or who he is in Vancouver. And I was kind of disappointed. I thought he would say something encouraging, but all he said was, "You are on your own, you know." Okay. But he made such a huge impact in my life that 2 years. He showed me another secret. He showed me what a healthy church looks like. That is no money can buy. Because I've been a pastor for 20 years. I saw a lot of pastors struggling, serving in the church, but they had no idea what a healthy church looks like. And they're working so hard, but they do not know where they are going. But I thank him very much in that 2 years. He showed me not just as a pastor, as a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ, but also he showed me what a healthy church would look like. And I will forever thank him for that. So I hope, you know, a lot of time when a new pastor came on board, seminary student graduating, and I would tell them, find a church that, you know, your pastor will show you what a healthy church looks like. Brothers and sisters, at the end, I just want to encourage you. The church we have a responsibility. We would love to be part of this journey. As I said, we will come along, even though at the end it's between you and God, no matter what kind of format, it doesn't matter. Some people say, oh, I prefer this. Some people say, I prefer that. It's okay. At the end, it's between you and God. Make that decision. Before His Word, allow the Spirit to speak to you and give you a new, soft heart that is teachable and willing to change for His kingdom. And I hope our church, our leaders, our elders will be there to support as we go through this journey together. Let's pray together. Our Father, we want to give you thanks for our Lord Jesus Christ. He spent 30-some years on earth showing us what it means to be is someone that will sacrifice our own lives for the sake of others. Lord, He died on the cross to make this path possible for us to go back and be reconciled with our Lord, with our God. Lord, we just pray that we will also be part of this kingdom expansion. Before You left, this is what You asked us to do. And we all believe that. I truly believe we understand that. This is not just a pastor's job. This is not missionary's job. It's ours. But Lord, we sometimes give ourselves a lot of excuse. But Lord, just help us to come before You in this journey of our lives. I believe we need to make a decision, a daily decision, that we will choose to shift our focus from ourselves to You and to others. Lord, we pray that as we walk this journey together as a body of Christ, and pray that the church will be able to, our leaders, our pastors, will come alongside and encourage us to go through this journey together. Show us and show each other how we can be someone that please You, to someone who glorifies You in our daily basis. Lord, we do a lot of talking, but I think we need to let people see our lives. Lord, we thank You for our Lord Jesus. Without Him, we have no idea what it means to be God's people. Lord, we thank You and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.